Well, it might be where he was that that was, I mean, that might be good information, but it might not be either, right? It could be for his location, and it could be different for you for your location. So I'd say, it wouldn't hurt you to start off with something like his and validate that his is correct, but it also wouldn't hurt for you to be able to experiment, depending on how much space you've got and, how many trees you have. Mike lived in the woods, so he could stretch his for miles around, and it paid off. It was beneficial to him. He didn't have to use much power at all, and he could talk to anybody in the world he wanted to, and he could hear them. They could hear him, so it worked really good. And he had about a mile's worth of antenna. It was a lot, right? And that's another thing. It's going to expand and contract with heat and cold, right? That's what wire does. That's what metal does. So I would say probably isn't as critical as he's probably making it sound. I'd say the way one of the guys used to be on here quite a bit, he'd say if it radiates, it's an antenna. If it doesn't, it's a bird perch. But I'm sure something like that you could find. Depending on where you want to talk to, what band you want to talk on. But with some ladder line leading up to it and a ballon on the bottom of it, then I don't think it's going to be as critical as he's telling you that it's going to be. You're also going to be, resting in the trees, and your trees are going to be a different height off of the ground, and that's going to make a difference with where the noise floor is. So I'd say experiment with it. Take into consideration what he's saying, so if it turns out that way, you can validate his findings. But if it's not, don't be too surprised.
I can put in roughly a rectangle, and it'll be from my measuring around 500 feet, give or take, and then through a bunch of trees, and I'm going to figure on using insulated wire, so I assume that will be possible without having to have standoffs. And then I'm wondering about the ladder line, just how much of a problem that is to connect to it.
That shouldn't be difficult at all. You do need something that keeps the ladder line from spreading apart. You do need like a coupler up there at the top, and you want to do a strain relief so that you bolt the ladder line to the coupler, and then you bolt each end of the ladder line to the coupler, and then you bolt the antennas to the coupler where that ladder line is bolted to the coupler. So the stress is on the coupler, not on the ladder line. And some people call that a hanger. Some people use a chunk of wood. Some people use a chunk of plastic, just something that is not metal, just to take the strain off of the ladder line so there's no stress on the ladder line. And then down at the bottom, it should bolt right to the balun, and then the coax goes into the bottom of the balun. Most of the time, it's that way.
And?
I think that's Harry. Go ahead, Harry.
C4EZN, while y'all were talking, I was did some looking up on Google, and there's the picture that you see in the ARRL handbook for what they call a sky loop. And basically what it is a square, which I think you can probably fiddle with a square and turn it into a rectangle. But basically the wire is one wavelength long, the circumference of the square or rectangle is one wavelength, which at 1.9 megahertz, that's 529 feet. They feed it with coax because they say that the impedance of that antenna is somewhere in the vicinity of 100 ohms. So if you put up ladder line, you're gonna have some mismatch in there, or unless you design the ladder line for a lower impedance than what we normally think about. But anyway, and the other thing they talk about is as you go up in frequency, the takeoff angle of that antenna starts to come down, so that when you get up into the, like, say 20 meter band area, it becomes a decent DX antenna. So stir that around in your thinking a little bit, but What I looked up, they talk about making it one wavelength for the, basically, the longest band you want to work. And I'll leave it at that. I don't have yard or trees in the right place to put up that kind of antenna, and if I did, I might play with it a little bit, but that doesn't work for me at my house. That antenna would not be the best antenna for me. Which is sort of back to what your friend said, Dave. If it radiates and works, it's a good antenna. I don't have trees growing in the right place to do that, and don't choose to put a pole up in the yard. There's some wifely input into that impedance thing that might interfere with it. Anyway, we'll turn it back to you, Dave. W4DJW KC4EGN.
All right, Harry, we appreciate that input. That's really good input, and we do appreciate that. Ed, does all that make sense? You have any other questions?
Information, which I appreciate. I saw something about the hooking up in on the Air magazine as far as a unit to tie the ends together that looked pretty good in the shape of a T and with a way of holding ladder line. There are a couple articles that I looked at that one of them is called Random Wire Links, and he's running through a computer using half waves and all, and got all kinds of lengths depending on the frequencies. And the other one is called the Best Random Wire Antenna Links, which is in a hamuniverse.com. And they both have similar ideas as far as links, but based on trying to keep it within half wavelengths so that you don't interfere with each other.
Well, Ed, they do make a random wire tuner as well, and it's used on boats a lot. Boats, they don't have, as you can imagine, they don't have a lot of room for long wire antenna. If they don't want to use a vertical, then they're kind of limited. And I have purchased those random wire antenna tuners, and they work really, really good. Some of them are active antennas, some of them are passive, but they do work. So if you want to use random wire, I did that for a while. I had three antennas out there, a super loop, a mystery antenna, and a random wire. The super loop did the best. The mystery antenna was second, and the random wire was third. But at least I had three of them up there working, and I could move the random wire, you know, around, the end of it around. So if there was an area of the world I couldn't get to and I wanted to, I could move that thing back and forth by 90 degrees. And it would give me a different section of the earth that I could work. But random wires, fun. They're all fun to play with if you got the time to play with them. But the super loop is a vertical antenna. Well, it's horizontal because of the flat across the top. But it is a vertical loop. It's an upside-down triangle. It's like in the shape of a yield sign, and with the ladder line hanging down and terminating at the bottom of the triangle, and not, you don't connect to the ladder line. You connect the two ends of the triangle to the balun, and then the coax to the balun. And those work too. But there's just a ton of different kind of wire antennas. They're fun to play around with. I wish you much success with your horizontal loop. If there's anything else we can do for you this evening?
Hi, I'm thinking about 14 gauge, and also to install it. Do you start shooting up with either a slingshot or air gun over branches and then start pulling it through until you get to the back end of it? Just what would you recommend as far as actually putting up one through the trees?
We did use 14-wire copper-clad steel because copper-clad steel expands and contracts the least, but it's still going to expand and contract. Like pure copper will stretch. It will really stretch a long way. The longer the antenna is, the longer it will stretch when it gets hot and shrink when it gets cold. But copper-clad steel kind of attenuates that activity quite a bit. And it's really strong. The steel makes it strong. Copper's kind of weak. So we use 14-gauge copper-clad steel. We use those the tree feller slingshots. I don't know if you're familiar with those, but you can use the air cannons, or a tree feller slingshot is a slingshot that's about 6 foot long. It's on a yellow pole. It uses rubber bands that are about an inch in diameter, and it shoots hacky sacks through the trees. And the hacky sack's advantage is it'll get up enough force. They weigh about 8 to 12 to 16 ounces, so you can put whatever you want on there. During the summer, the rubber bands stretch and contract really easily so that you can get a lot of altitude out of it. In the wintertime, not so much, so you can't get as much altitude in the winter with a slingshot as you can in the summertime. But the advantage to that is that hacky sack will come down through those trees. It won't get hung up like a little lead sinker or like a tennis ball. When it's coming down, and it's going to break limbs on its way back down. So it brings a waxed rope back down through the trees with it instead of a fishing line. So, and those are the professionals, the guy that do the tree felling, that's what they use. So it's a pretty thick diameter waxed rope attached to a hacky sack that's shot up with a 6 foot slingshot. And you just put those over the limbs. You just weave it through the trees. You go to where it fell down and you shoot it back up over the next tree. And where it fell down that time, you go to that place and you shoot it up over, and you just keep weaving it through the trees that way till you get back around to the start. And you can put your whole weight on the 14 gauge copper clad steel to pull it through the trees. We would hang on it to pull it through it to get it to come through the trees. Does that answer the question?
Because I was wondering just how much it would take to pull that length of wire through the trees, figuring you've got it on a reel which unwinds from one end and then pulling it through from the other. But I like the idea of the slingshot. I saw some tree cutters use something like that when they took some trees down here. The cutter was up in the trees, and the man on the bottom would shoot that thing up to him so he could pull up equipment from the ground.
It works really good in the summertime. Not so much in the wintertime, because the rubber isn't as elastic in the wintertime as it is in the summertime. But it still works. It'll work on either one of them. The air cannons work good too. You just got to be careful you don't lose. So it doesn't get stuck in the trees on its way back down. Or if you use a lead sinker and like a wrist rocket, you got to be careful you don't sling the lead slinker off at the end of the wire. The wrist rocket will break a 60-pound test wire when it jerks, when that lead sinker jerks. And you'll hear that sinker fly away, and you'll never see it again. Anyway, good luck with it, Ed. Let us know if there's anything else we can do.
Well, anyway, I appreciate all the information. You give me some good ideas that I'll add to my experimenting.
Very good. Enjoy that. We'll talk to you again next time. Any other stations all the way through the alphabet that'd like to check into the Blue Ridge 2-meter net, call W4DJW.
4DJW, KO4BDM.
Go ahead, Jim.
My line through the trees, I used my Phantom 4 drone and tied my line to it and ran it over the top of the trees and then dropped it after I got to where I wanted it.
That's the same way I did it at Fred's house when about 10 years ago, he had a tree that was really high, and I flew it. I didn't have a Phantom. I had a home-built Hexcopter, and you could fly it up and look down at the tree and then fly over the tree and then release it, and I used the hacky sack and the wax wire, and so you could move left or right, you know, you could watch the wind blowing the waxed wire, and you could move left to right to compensate for the wind and drop it right where you wanted to. And what I usually do when I'm using the multirotor is go up twice as high as the tree before you drop it. And the advantage of that is when that hacky sack comes down from twice as high as the tree, it's going to get to the ground, right? One way or another, it's going to make it to the ground. That's the advantage of the multirotor, is that you can go up really high and drive. You're going to need that length anyway, because it's going to have to come down the same length that it went up. So you can go up twice as high with the multirotor and drop it, and you've already got the line stretched out to the right length. So, Jim, that works really good.
Use my drone to retrieve my airplane from the tree.
Well, I did that to a point until I got so much invested in the Hexcopter, I decided, you know, it cost me a lot more to lose this than it would what I'm retrieving. So at some point I overdid it. You can't do that. You got to build something that's disposable to do that with.
Save on that. KO4BDM standing by.
Appreciate that, Jim. Any other stations all the way through the alphabet and like check into the Blue Ridge 2-meter net, call W4DJW.
JW. Oh, Golf 4, Juliet, India, Alpha, KG4JIA, Dennis and Gaffney. Good evening to you, Dave, all the day. 70 years.
Got your recheck. Be right with you. Net control lock recognize KG4JIA. That's Dennis sounding good from Gaffney this evening. Go ahead, recheck.
WG Firm C. Dave, does my signal sound better or worse? I turned down the power to the medium setting.
Sounds just as good as it did before. Full scale, full quieting.
Appreciate that. W4DJW, WG Firm C. I'm clear and thank you, sir.
All right, Matt. That'll be a lot easier on those finals. You know, no need to stress them because they're doing a good job. Any other stations all the way through the alphabet that would like to check into the Blue Ridge 2-meter net, call W4DJW. Okay, sounds like we got them all. Don't be sure and stop by tomorrow night where W2MJB Mark will be calling the Blue Ridge 2-meter net. I'm sure he'd appreciate you stopping by and checking in with him, and I'm sure you'll enjoy that net tomorrow night. Please stand by for my net report. This is W4DJW now securing the Blue Ridge 2-meter net with our thanks for checking in. We'll now return the repeater back to normal amateur use. 73s and good night.